Seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain. And when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said, Ye men of Judea and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken unto my words. For these are not drunken, as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. And your young men shall see visions. And your old men shall dream dreams. And upon my servants and upon my handmaidens will I pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before that great and notable day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, Ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are too superstitious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, To the unknown God, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship. Him declare I unto you, God that made the world and all things therein, seeing he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things, and hath made of one blood all nations of men, for to dwell on the face of the earth, and hath appointed the days appointed and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they may feel after him and find him. Though we be not far from every one of us, for in him we live and move and have our being. As certain also of your own poets have said, for we are his offspring. For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone graven by art and man's device. And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed a day in the which he shall judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, we serve our risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that he is living, whatever men may say. I see his hand of mercy. I hear his voice of cheer. And just the time I need him, he's always near. He lives. He lives. Salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart. What a wonderful Savior. Easter, he lives. Easter, he gives. Easter, I believe. Easter, I receive. Thank God for the resurrection morning. And we've already celebrated in such a marvelous way out on the lawn, trembling a little bit in the wind, but warmed in our hearts, the message from our dear pastor. What a wonderful thing it was. Now open your Bible with me, ladies and gentlemen. By the way, did I tell you, when we open the Bible opens the mind of God. Let's see what God's thinking about. In Psalm number 16, one of the Messianic Psalms, as you're finding your place, in the 16th Psalm, I should remind you again, as sure as night follows day and day follows night, God still lives, and the Bible is right. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. All flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. The word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven, and I'm glad that it's settled right here on earth in this book that we call the Bible. Amen. Inspired, infallible, inerrant, impeccable, indestructible, powerful, precious, perfect, pure, pontifical, and preserved for us in our own language in the King James Version. Amen. What a wonderful, awesome God we serve. He's able to raise the dead, and he has, and he will. I'm going to read Psalm 16, beginning at verse number 8 and down through verse 11. And I'll read it after we pray. Would you join with me, please, in prayer? Our Father, we are grateful for this wonderful day. And those who have come seeking the right way for their families, for their homes, for their lives, for eternity, I pray that they would find in Jesus Christ everything they need, a Savior, a sovereign one, a sufficient one, one who can supply their needs, one who is absolute, one who's alive forevermore. Amen. And I pray that in his name you'd speak to souls and bring them to the cross today and beyond through the empty tomb. In Jesus' name I pray with thanksgiving. Amen. Amen. Psalm 16 and verse number 8. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Therefore, my heart is glad, and my glory rejoiceth. My flesh also shall rest in hope. For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, Hades, the place of the departed dead. Neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Ladies and gentlemen, the crucifixion of Jesus Christ was no afterthought with God. He was not forced to do it. It was no last resort. It was not as though he had tried everything else and failed. It was not accidental. It was not incidental. It was by divine decree. Amen. In the Revelation chapter number 13 at verse number 8, Chapter 13 and 8, the beloved Apostle John identified Jesus Christ, please don't miss this, as the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Ladies and gentlemen, before the stars ever sang together, before the rivers ever ran to the ocean, before the sun ever sent its brilliant rays across a darkened sky, Jesus Christ was slain in the counsels of Almighty God. The most graphic picture that we have of the crucifixion is not in Matthew or Mark or Luke or John. It's in the book of Isaiah. Chapter number 53. And 750 years before Jesus was born, Isaiah told how he would die. He said to us, "Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He's brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth." What a wonderful Savior, suffering, bleeding, dying for your sins and mine. Ladies and gentlemen, sacred history has recorded many magnificently significant days. The day God created man in his own image. The day that Noah entered the ark to preserve the human race. The day that God put a rainbow in the sky to tell us he would never destroy the world anymore by water. The day that Abraham entered the land of promise and became the father of all the faithful. The day that Joseph was named the prime minister of Egypt and controlled all the bread and all the foodstuffs and became a type of Christ who is the bread of life. And he said, "I am the bread of life. Come down from heaven." And my friend, let me tell you, you may eat the finest bread ever baked on this planet, but you have to eat the bread of life before you can be saved. The day that a boy named David was crowned king of Israel. The day Elijah went to heaven in a whirlwind. What a way to go. Gone with the wind. Stage one. Stage two comes with the rapture when we'll all go up in the wind. By the way, he was accompanied by 20,000 chariots of God. What a way to go. The day the Word became flesh and Jesus was born in Bethlehem. The day that the Lamb of God was crucified on a hill called Calvary, where he bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, and by whose stripes we are healed. Would you stay tuned? There's a new and glorious day dawning. It's Easter Sunday, the day that changed the world. Remember the words of my text, "Thou wilt not leave my soul in hell," or Hades, the place of the departed dead, "neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption." The greatest day on history is the day that Jesus conquered death, hell, and the grave. The day he rose from the grave triumphantly. From the dead he came in spite of the odds that were against him. Stay tuned. Did you know that there were four distinct powers at the grave that day at the tomb to prevent his resurrection? First, there were the civil powers, the seal of the Roman Empire. There were the military powers, the Roman soldiers standing guard. There were religious powers, representatives of the Sanhedrin to make sure that his disciples didn't steal his body away and claim that he had been resurrected. Then there was the underworld powers. Somehow I believe that Satan himself, old Slewfoot himself, with all the imps of hell, were gathered around the tomb to try to keep him from coming up. But hear me, God always has the last word. Amen. Acts 2:24, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because, are you listening? Because it was not possible for him to be holden of it. It was absolutely impossible for the devil and all of his imps and all the civil and all the religious and all of the military powers to keep him in the grave. Ladies and gentlemen, the resurrection is the most authentic event ever recorded in the history of the world. There are more proofs of the resurrection in the Bible than any other miracle that's in the Bible. Acts 1:3 tells us that he showed himself alive by many infallible proofs. One day, a crowd went around the city of Jerusalem whispering, "He is dead. He is dead. He is dead." 3 days later, the crowd went around Jerusalem shouting, "He's alive! He's alive! He's alive!" Thank God he's alive today. And could I tell you, my friend, that Jesus is not a phantom character in a playbook. He's a living presence in a real world. By the way, Joseph's tomb was not his final resting place. He just stopped there 3 nights on the way home. And before he went home, he left some assurance to all his followers. John 11, 25 and 26. I'm going to quote Jesus. Is it all right, folks? I love to quote Jesus. He said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die." He also said in John 14, 9, I'm still quoting Jesus. By the way, if I knew a higher authority to quote, I'd quote it, but I don't know. He's the highest of all authorities. And he said in John 14, 9, because I live, you shall live also. Amen. And then one day when John was on the Isle of Patmos for the testimony of Jesus Christ and the Word of God, he saw a vision of the resurrected Christ, his head and hair like wool, white as snow, his eyes like a flame of fire, his feet like brass in a burning furnace, in his hand 7 stars and a sharp sword went out of his mouth, and his countenance, John said, was like the sun shineth in his strength. Now let me quote John. He said, "And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand on me and said, fear not, I'm the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I'm alive forevermore and have the keys of hell and death." Whenever you talk about Jesus' death, it's always past term, past tense. I am he that liveth and was dead. He's alive forevermore. He lives and grants me daily breath. He lives and I shall conquer death. He lives my mansion to prepare. He lives to bring me safely there. I don't think there was a Jerusalem Post being printed. Pastor, you think probably it wasn't? Maybe some kind of paper? But if the Jerusalem Post were being printed, I think the headlines the next day would have read something like this: Jesus of Nazareth reportedly rose from the dead. I'd only change one word. I'd change reportedly to actually. Jesus Christ of Nazareth actually, truly rose from the dead. Now, that's my introduction. I'm ready to start preaching. I'm not going to preach overtime, I promise you. I don't know what overtime is, but maybe some of you do. But my message I've entitled, "The Day Christ Arose." I submit to you in the first place, the day Christ arose, he proved his identity as the Son of God. I give you Paul's commentary on that from Romans chapter 1 at verse number 4. He is declared, Paul said, set apart, determined to be, declared to be the Son of God by the resurrection from the dead. Ladies and gentlemen, to deny the resurrection is to deny Christ. To deny Christ is to deny God. To deny God is to throw everything into chaos. You know what? People visit a tomb in the city of Moscow because a body is there. They visit a tomb in the city of Jerusalem because a body is not there. You remember what the angel said to the women? Fear not. I know you seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here. He is risen. As he said, come see the place where the Lord lay. Lo, in the grave he lay, Jesus my Savior, waiting the coming day, Jesus my Lord. Vainly they watch his bed, Jesus my Savior. Vainly they seal the dead, Jesus my Lord. Death cannot keep his prey, Jesus my Savior. He tore the bars away, Jesus my Lord. Up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph over his foes. He arose the victor over the dark domain. He lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose. He arose. Hallelujah. He arose. You know, that day the tomb lost its power. Sin lost its sting. And the grave lost its victory. He proved he was the Son of God. I see in the second place, the day Christ arose, he completed God's formula for the gospel. What is that formula? Well, it's found in 1 Corinthians 15 at verse 3, where Paul said, I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried. Is that all of it? And that he rose again the third day, according to the scriptures. Ladies and gentlemen, to take the resurrection out of the gospel equation is to reduce Christianity to the status of a dead religion, like Mohammedanism, or Buddhism, or Hinduism, or Shintoism, or Taoism, or Jainism, or any other ism or wasm. He's alive. He lives forever with his saints to reign. I see in the third place. The day that Christ arose, he vindicated the preaching of every gospel preacher and the faith of every born-again believer. Back in January, the second Sunday, I passed the 65th anniversary of my preaching. I figured it up. If I had preached three sermons a week for 65 years, I would have preached, now watch this, 10,140 sermons. Wow. And you know what? If Jesus had not come out of the grave, every one of those 10,000 sermons would have been in vain. That's what Paul said, 1 Corinthians 15 at verse 14. And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain. But by the way, your faith, Paul said, is also vain. But I like verse 20. But now is Christ risen from the dead. Amen. And you know what? My preaching has not been in vain. And your faith is not in vain, because Christ is alive. I see in the fourth place, the day Christ arose, he assured us that our deceased loved ones are not perished. He said in chapter 15, 1 Corinthians at verse 18, then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If Christ be not risen, those who have died in the faith are perished. I like verse 19 of chapter 15. If in this life only we have hope in Christ Jesus, we're of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. I go to yonder cemetery in my hometown, Danville, Virginia. I read the inscriptions on the tombstones. Robert Jones Barber, Sr., that's my daddy. Maggie Mae Stone Barber, that's my mother. Mamie Barber Gregory, that's my sister. Otis Barber, that's my brother. Bobby Barber III, that's my nephew. Tomorrow, early in the morning, I fly to Atlanta, Georgia, to help in the funeral of the daughter of Dr. Curtis Hudson, one of the best friends I ever had. When Curtis Hudson died back in the mid-90s, his three daughters adopted me as their father. I got a lot of children. I got a lot of grandchildren and great-grandchildren and great-great. I must be older than I thought I was. But you know what? Paul said, if Christ did not rise from the grave, these people would be perishing. But the hundreds that I buried out of the congregation like this and all over the country, they'd all be perishing. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. I'm so glad that they are not perishing. I'm comforted by what Paul wrote to the church at Thessalonica in chapter 4. I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not even as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you, by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them that are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Folks, you know where I'd like to be when Jesus comes? I'd like to be standing in the middle of the biggest cemetery on the planet. On my feet, of course. I'd like to be there on my feet. Watching them pop up, pop up, pop up, pop up, pop up, pop up. The dead in Christ shall rise first. Well, there's one more thing about the day that Christ arose. Listen to this, please. He made the way how to be saved very clear and very plain. Romans chapter 10 is Paul's, by the way, the best commentary on the Bible is the Bible. Amen. Paul said, but what saith it? What does the Bible say? What does the word say? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is a word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Now watch this. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. Whosoever, that means you, my friend. That means you. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Listen to me. You don't have to go to Mecca or Medina. You don't have to go to Jerusalem or Rome. You need to go only one place by faith, and that's a place called Calvary, where Jesus suffered, bled, and died for your sins. I must tell you, my friend, life is uncertain. Death is sure. Sin is the curse. Christ is the cure. My friend, listen to me. If you're here today without Christ, this service has been designed particularly for you. You say, but well, I've tried it. I've been to this church. I'm not talking about church now. I'm talking about the cross. I'm talking about Christ. I'm talking about believing that Jesus died and rose again, and the Bible says if you do that, you will be saved. Can I tell you, today is your day. Tomorrow belongs to God. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Come, for all things are now ready. Today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. Today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. And you know what, my friend? You may have heard 1,000 things about how to be saved, and it may have been more difficult than you could ever understand, but I'm going to tell you how simple it is. It's as simple as A, B, C. A, all have sinned. That means you. That means me. That's all of us. All is all. If you got all the chocolate pie, you got it all. All have sinned. B, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. C, confess with your mouth. A, B, C. That's how simple it is. And I invite you, in the simplicity of it all, we're going to stand. We're going to sing. We're going to pray. You are going to move. Now listen, you say, well, I'm not going to make a decision today. Yes, you are. If you don't decide to come to Christ, you'll decide to go away from Christ. The decision is up to you. Let's stand, please, for our prayer. As our heads are bowed now, altar's open, invitation has begun. You're here today without Christ. Easter Sunday, what a wonderful day to be saved. Let it be registered that on March the 27th, 2016, Easter Sunday, I was saved by the grace of God, and sign your name to it. What a wonderful thing that would be for you to be saved today. Today. Today's the day. Tomorrow belongs to God. I wonder who would lift your hand while nobody's looking around. Nobody's going to embarrass you. Nobody's going to drag you down the aisle. Nobody's going to put you on the spot. I just want to ask you, if you were here today and you're not sure that if you were to die today that you'd go to heaven, you don't know that you've really been saved, would you put your hand up and say, preacher, pray for me. I don't have that assurance. Put it up real high, wherever you are. Put your hand up. Just pray for me. I don't know Jesus as my Savior. I don't have the assurance that if I died today, I'd go to heaven today. Would you just put your hand up and let us pray for you? God bless you. Are there others? Just put your hand up and say, pray for me. Somebody here today that wants to join Worth Baptist Church, would you just put your hand up and say, preacher, pray for me that we'll make the right decision. God bless you. God bless you. Some here today that's come with a heavy heart. It's Easter. Everybody's happy and everybody's singing. Everybody's shouting. And everybody's expressing joy. But in your heart, there's a heavy burden. In your heart, there's some kind of difficulty, some kind of heartache, some kind of burden. You need prayer. Just, I don't know what it is. It may be 1,000 things that I'd miss. But I wonder if you just raise your hand and say, preacher, I need prayer today. Would you pray for me? God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you and you and you and you and you and you and you. And you, are there others? Anyone else before we pray? God bless you. God bless you. Are there others? God bless you. God bless you. Are there others? You may put your hands back down. God bless you. Now, while heads are bowed, we're going to sing in a moment. But I want every one of you who lifted your hand, whatever the need was, I want you to do one other thing. Without any embarrassment, without any pressure, I want you to just step out of your seat. Don't wait. Today is your day. Tomorrow belongs to God. Boast not thyself of tomorrow. I want you to step out of your seat. Come to the front. There'll be someone to help you, pray for you. Would you do that? Right now, don't wait on somebody else because somebody else may not come. Do it right now. If you lifted your hand, whatever the need, Join these that have come. Father, we thank you for what you have done and are doing and will do in the hearts of these people today. In Jesus' name.